Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's May 28th Othello Regular City Council meeting. If you would all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon our meeting and upon the council and for wisdom as we make our decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call. Councilwoman Gina Dorno is unable to attend. She had another meeting she had to go to. Maria Casada is in a meeting, and she said she's going to be 15 to 20 minutes late. And Angel Garza is, I think he got tied up into something, and I don't remember what it was, but I'd entertain a motion from the council to excuse Maria Casada, Gina Doro, and Angel from tonight.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now we move to item 1.5, citizen input. It's a segment of the city council meeting where citizens have a chance to address the city council with any item that they wish. Is there anyone here present who would like to address the city council? Please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. And you can step to the microphone and address the council. Is there one? Yes, please. Kelly.
My name is Kelly Camp. I am the first resident to have moved in on the north side of Olympia Street in the new development. And over the last few months, now that there is more residents there and more traffic and less just construction traffic, there's been a noticeable increase in speed and traffic just not paying attention to what else is happening on the road, with people kind of going back to using that road as a way to get across town again. We have spoken with the police department to try and have an increased police presence there, especially at the different hours of the day where it's kind of change of shift, end of school, that kind of stuff. There's a school at the end of Olympia down by 7th Hiawatha is down there. There's the preschool that is also down there. And just 2 weeks ago, our cat got hit right in front of our house in the road by a car that was going too fast and couldn't stop, right in front of my kids and my husband and everybody that was in the front yard. So it's just becoming very near and dear to me that people slow down on my road. And so when I spoke with the police chief, he told me that he is bringing, or some, whatever the plan is, to maybe talk about getting a stop sign or two on the road to try and help to slow the traffic. And so I am here to speak on behalf of that as a resident there to try and slow down traffic on my road.
Kelly, thank you for coming. And you're right, the city is in the middle of studying that issue with Public Works Department, Engineering Department, the Police Department, and we're going to, we got to have some further discussions about that, and we will respond to you probably, I would say, no later than the next 2 weeks. So, I mean, that isn't the only street that sometimes we have speeders going up and down. And so we're having discussions, and if there's anybody in the council that wants to address anything, that's fine.
So where do you think they're going to, because they're not being able to get all the way through? Are they just
There's a lot that pop from 14th right in front, because I live on the corner of 13th and Olympia. So there's a lot that pop from 14th and then down 13th down to the hospital. And then there's a lot that cross all the way over to get to the school. So they run all the way down Olympia because there's no stop on it. So they can just pop right down there and then drop off at Hiawatha or drop off at the preschool there. Or they're just trying to get across town and avoid all the lights on Main.
Avoiding Lee Road.
Yeah, instead of going all the way to Lee, which, yeah. You know, I think a lot of people were doing when the road was closed for a time. But now it's wider, it's even more accessible, and so there's a lot of cars at specific times of day in particular. And then there's more people living there. There's, what, 18 houses or something that's occupied, or 15 or whatever, they're occupied on the road. So there's more traffic on the road anyway because there's more residents. And then whoever it is that's using it to get in and around or whatever is just...
Okay, right now, though, none of the streets on Olympia running north and south are
correct.
Through streets yet.
No. It's east to west traffic.
Yeah, and normally on an arterial that travels between, you know, east and west directions or north and south directions, usually you end up keeping those open so that there is a throughway through, mm-hmm. and the stop signs would be on the side streets coming in and out. So we'll post it for 25 if it's not already posted.
Yeah, there's no speed limit signs at all on the road. There's no speed limit signs at all. And there's also no slow down. There's no signage that says slow for children or school zone or anything down at the end of 7th where there is the preschool and the school down at that end. So there's not even a school zone area down there by the school.
And that should be.
And then like along 9th that comes up to Olympia, there's a lot of foot traffic and kids and stuff that go to practice their games. The park's right there, so there's a lot of walking. At least there's a sidewalk along Olympia now, so I will give it that. It's a lot safer to walk on now that there's a sidewalk. But there is a lot of people in that neighborhood that walk, and the traffic is just too fast.
Okay. Expect an answer and a response in within 2 weeks, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you for coming. Is there anyone else who would like to address the City Council tonight? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda. Can I entertain a motion to approve the agenda tonight?
That motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agendas. I'd entertain a motion tonight to approve our consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to item 4.1. Tonight we have the honor of having the Chief Executive Officer of the Association of Washington Cities, Peter King, and was contacted here a couple of weeks ago. He wanted to come and present an award to the mayor. So, Peter, if you want to...
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I'll make a couple introductory comments and then make a presentation. Again, thank you for giving us some time to be on the agenda and also for your membership in AWC. As I think you all know, we represent all 281 cities and towns in the state, and we appreciate your participation. We really focus on advocacy, education, and services. And when I talk about services, it's primarily our pooling programs. And I know Othello participates in the AWC Employee Benefit Trust, that provides employee benefits, medical, dental, vision for your employees. You're also a member of our retrospective rating program for workers' compensation. So we provide loss control, safety, help you with claims management, and safety of employees. So appreciate your participation in those two programs as well. Advocacy is the other area that you all are aware of, that we represent your interests and all cities' interests with the state legislature, with state ruled administrative agencies. I know the next item on your agenda is a wrap-up from your representatives from Gordon Thomas Honeywell. I will mention that you have a wrap-up bulletin from us. We have a report on the priorities and where we ended up at the end of the session, the 105-day session. And then also, excuse me, tomorrow we are doing a webinar from 11:30 to 12:30, which will be recorded and available to you, kind of a wrap-up of what happened in Olympia and how that affects the cities and towns. So I would encourage you to, excuse me, take a look and participate in that. So really, I'm here to recognize the mayor for the Advanced Certificate of Municipal Leadership. I did include a brochure on the program, and I think many of you may already be aware, but it's a program that was established back in 1997, And it's a program of education that we provide to elected officials throughout the state. Elected officials can participate. If you go to any of our workshops or conferences or events, you're automatically enrolled in that program. And then we track how many credits you get, and you can go online and look at that at any time. So those that reach the 30-hour credit receive the credential for the basic certificate of municipal leadership. And then we have an advanced program where those who are interested can get additional 30 credits, and then also participate in community service and submit background information, and then are awarded that particular advanced certificate. We have about, over the years, we've had about 1,000 city officials who've obtained the basic credential, and we have about 300 who have achieved the advanced. So I'm here to recognize the mayor and thank him for his participation with AWC. He's a member of our Education Advisory Committee and has been active over the years, and recognize his achievement. So, Mayor, congratulations.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, thank you for coming.
And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have about AWC or how we can help support you and as you move forward with your work. Thank you.
Let the record show that Maria Quesada has entered the meeting at 6:40 p.m. And now, as we move on to item 4.3, this is the continued public hearing for reimbursement agreement for irrigation system constructed by Olson Homes. And Sorry, getting excited. Let's go to item 4.2 is the end of session, just legislative session wrap up, and we have with us tonight the pleasure of our two lobbyists, Brianna Murray and Hannah Jones. And they have a presentation for the council to about a wrap up of their activities on behalf of the city of Othello. I'm sorry, ladies, apologize.
No problem, Mayor. Good evening. I'm Brianna Murray. I'm joined with by my colleague Hannah Jones, and the city contracts with our firm Gordon Thomas Honeywell Government Affairs to lobby and advocate on behalf of the city of Othello and Olympia and through the legislative process. We work very closely with your 9th district legislators, Senator Schessler, Representative Schmick, and Representative Dye. And we work primarily on items that you all have established as your legislative priorities. And we did that all together collectively in November and December. Our hope in our presentation this evening is to provide you with an overview of the legislative session and a report specifically on the legislative priorities that you adopted. I will note, to build on Peter King's comments, that we would certainly encourage participation in AWC's webinar tomorrow as they go over the association's priorities. We're going to be focusing our remarks this evening on your specific legislative priorities rather than a lot of the issues that the association covered this last session. So that webinar will be additive and not a repeat of the information we're sharing with you tonight. So with that, I'm going to dive into an overview of the 2019 legislative session. It was a 105-day long legislative session. It was the first year of the two-year legislative biennium, and we are so thrilled to report that they finished on time for the first time in many years, particularly in a long legislative session. The primary objective of the legislature was to adopt operating capital and transportation budgets, and all three were adopted. I think you all can remember a time when it took them some time to adopt a capital budget. It took them multiple sessions. We're fortunate that none of that happened this year. In addition to their budget development process, there were a record number of bills introduced during the session, 2,206 bills introduced. Of those, 22% of them passed into law, which is a higher rate of passage than we've seen historically. Democrats were in control in both the House and the Senate, and we also have a Democrat governor. So the Democrats really set the agenda for the items that would be worked on this legislative session, and they set a very ambitious agenda. We saw everything from 100% clean energy, Tobacco 21, reforms to the Residential Landlord-Tenant Act, the vaccination exemption for measles, and many other things that brought citizens from throughout the state of Washington to Olympia to participate in the public process. Our work on behalf of the city, though, remained very focused on your specific legislative priorities and specifically around funding requests. And we're very pleased to report that you reached success this session, where we were able to secure a total of $925,000 for the city in the various budgets. We're going to kind of go over that in more detail here shortly, but before doing so, I wanted to provide a little bit more detail on the three budgets that the legislature chose to adopt. So first, in the 2019 operating budget, their final budget is a total of $52.4 billion. They made about $850 million in revenue increases in order to make new investments in behavioral health, a public employee salary benefit increase. And they looked at generating that $850 million in new revenue through making changes to the state B&O tax, modifying the state real estate excise tax, changing the out-of-state sales tax mechanism, refund mechanism to a rebate, and several other changes. As the operating budget gets bigger, one of the domino effects of that is that the capital budget gets bigger because it's a percentage of the operating budget that goes to fund the capital budget. The capital budget funds bricks and mortar projects throughout the state, and that is often the budget that we're working in most closely on your behalf in order to secure funds. Because the operating budget was bigger, we also saw one of the state's largest capital budgets this year for a total of $4.9 billion. And there were investments made throughout the entire state, of which Othello benefited from, and we'll be going into that. The transportation budget is the third budget. It is very much separate from the operating and capital budgets. It's funded through a completely separate revenue source, primarily through state gas tax revenues. And we've seen a shortfall in gas tax revenues in recent years as gas usage overall has declined. As a result, there were very few new projects funded within that budget. And in fact, it really was a more focused discussion around where the state's gonna go next and how they generate their transportation revenues to fund the many different transportation demands throughout the state. This coming November, there will be an initiative on the ballot, I-976, that's referred to as the $30 car tab initiative. If that passes into law, that will have a negative impact fiscally on the transportation budget. And the legislature will be back in the 2020 session looking at how they deal with that shortfall if the initiative were to pass into law. So that's a very broad summary, very quickly, of everything that happened in the last 105 days. We really want to spend the bulk of our time this evening focused on your legislative priorities, and I'm going to turn it over to Hannah to move us in that direction.
Good evening. As Brianna mentioned, I'm Hannah Jones. At this point, we're going to transition in regards to our work directly on the city's behalf, including the legislative agenda that the city set prior to the legislative session. In total this year, the city received $925,000 for the purpose of continuing to advance the regional water plan. The city was also successful in its efforts to secure grant funding through the Recreation and Conservation Office, as well as through broader coalition efforts that the City of Othello contributed to through streamlined sales tax mitigation funding. So, since the City of Othello contracted with Gordon Thomas Honeywell, we've collaborated, we've continued to find ways to advance this regional water plan that the city has embarked upon. You may recall that as a result of the 2018 legislative session, the city secured just over $3 million for the regional water plan, a combination of appropriations from the Department of Commerce, the Department of Health, and the Office of Columbia River. Following the 2018 legislative session, Brianna and I worked closely with the mayor and with the council to determine the next steps for the city in figuring out what, you know, how do we continue to improve and make progress on this regional water plan? And how do we continue to make sure that the city is responsibly using and reusing water? After consulting with the mayor and the engineering firm, we determined that the city had an opportunity to make moves to construct an industrial water treatment plant, wastewater treatment plant. Through the engineering firm, we settled on a capital budget request of $1.5 million, which would cover design and initial infrastructure costs in order to construct this industrial wastewater treatment plant, which created a partnership between the city and industry interests within Othello. And during that time, as we're tying the final details of putting this legislative agenda together, the city was building lasting partnerships with local industry to try and make this project a reality. In addition, and this is on the next slide, but the city was also granted $500,000 in the governor's proposed budget, which came out about December, through the Office of Columbia River for the purpose of aquifer storage and recovery. And now that we consider as part of this broader regional water plan as a contributing factor, making sure we're taking care of that aquifer as well as finding new innovative ways to reuse water. Prior to and throughout the legislative session, we and representatives from the city continued to meet with Fellow's legislative delegation, Senator Schessler, Representative Dye, Representative Schmick, and we just came together and discussed the city's needs for these appropriations, including the industrial wastewater treatment plant and the aquifer storage and recovery, both components. So the budget process is such that one chamber releases their version and then the other chamber releases their own version, and the two sides come together to determine one final budget. The initial versions of the House and Senate capital budgets, which is where we requested funding from, was very positive for the city. The House capital budget included $425,000 for the industrial wastewater treatment plant, and the Senate budget included the $500,000 for the aquifer storage and recovery. But the aquifer storage and recovery wasn't in the House budget, and the industrial wastewater treatment plant funding was not in the Senate budget, so we still had work to do. We had the privilege of having Councilmember Lawless come down and visit us in Olympia, which I would encourage you all to do at some point. And we met with key capital budget leaders. We met with the city's delegation. It was an incredible opportunity to express the need for economic development here in the city and continuing this regional water plan. As a result of our advocacy efforts and presence from Councilmember Lawless and city's constant presence down in Olympia, the final budget included both the $500,000 for the aquifer storage and recovery, as well as the $425,000 for the industrial wastewater treatment plant. One other component of our legislative agenda was the Youth Athletic Facilities and Recreation Conservation Office grant funding. So the city also worked with Meg Van Schorl in our office to determine great grants to help improve economic development here in the city. One of those opportunities was the Youth Athletic Facilities Specialized Grant Competitive Grant Program, which is through the Recreation Conservation Office. The city requested $347,000 for renovation and restoration of the Lions Park ball fields. And in order to secure funding, the program as a whole, the Youth Athletic Facilities Program, needed to be funded within capital budget at the $6 million mark. Once we reached the $6 million mark, Othello would have been kind of the last one over that line to get full project funding. Upon initial release of the House and Senate budgets, results were mixed. The governor's budget, which was released prior, did not include funding to fund Othello's Lions Park project. The Senate capital budget did not include funding. The House budget did, which was great. And they just didn't make it to the mark that we were hoping for the city of Othello. However, that whole budget process occurred. We continued to advocate for full funding for the Youth Athletic Facilities Program. And as a result, the youth athletic facilities program was funded well beyond what we expected. At the $12 million mark, the city received its grant, which was wonderful. And at this point, we have one more item, and I'm going to turn it over to Brianna to talk about streamlined sales tax.
So the city receives several different revenue streams from the state that go into your general fund. You receive liquor profit revenues, liquor tax revenues. There's also municipal criminal justice assistance revenues. One of those revenue streams is streamlined sales tax mitigation, which is a mouthful. But essentially what that stream of revenue is doing is it is compensating cities for a loss in sales tax revenues that you experienced in the early 2000s when the state switched from origin-based sales tax sourcing to destination-based sales tax sourcing. In other words, you have more goods being shipped out of the Othello community than coming in. And when the state made their change to the sales tax system, you lost money. The state committed to Othello as well as other communities in a similar situation, a commitment that will continue to make you whole by providing you with mitigation payments. However, in recent years, the legislature has found it challenging to balance their own budget. They made the policy decision to begin collecting sales tax from out-of-state internet resellers who are selling goods within Washington state. So they're pulling in sales tax from out-of-state sellers. And when they made that decision, they said, we're going to end those streamlined sales tax mitigation payments. For the city of Othello, that would be an impact of about $85,000 annually. Negative impact, the money would just go away. Prior to the beginning of this legislative session, that was scheduled to happen in October of 2019. This legislative session, City of Othello joined about 12 other cities and partnered with the Association of Washington Cities in advocating for the continuation of those mitigation payments. We had promoted two different bills, House Bill 1948 and Senate Bill 5862, which would have not only funded the mitigation payments for the next budget cycle, but for a full 10 years, so that cities that receive this revenue would have the certainty that the revenue would be coming in future years. Unfortunately, the bills did not pass. However, we were successful in securing the funding for the next two-year budget cycle and for getting a commitment that it would be included in the following two-year budget. So it's a commitment of 4 years that this revenue stream would continue to be provided. So we're pleased to report that you'll continue to see streamlined sales tax mitigation revenues, and you can count on those for your general fund. As your residents and businesses make more purchases over the internet from out-of-state retailers, it will reduce this payment amount. So I can't guarantee what the payment amount will be, but you should see an increase in sales tax revenue from those internet sales. So it should end up being a wash. I want to just note that Senator Schessler was an incredible advocate for this program and for the funding of this program, and was expressly advocating for the program on your behalf. He's made it very clear as he voted on the bill at each stage of the process that he was really doing it for the city of Othello. So he was a true champion on this one, as he is on most of the city's priorities, but really stood out in this case. So great success. $85,000 may not seem like a ton of money when it's compared to the other funding that you've been able to receive in the capital budget, but it's a big chunk of change when you're looking at your general fund. I'm going to turn it back over to Hannah.
So just a couple more items on our legislative agenda. It was more a couple of items that the city wasn't necessarily actively leading on, but that the city has benefited from in the past, continues to benefit from, some of these local assistance community funds. But both in the 2018 and 2019 legislative sessions, the city has received substantial funding from the Office of Columbia River. And that office was up for reauthorization at the legislative level this year. And the city has continued to be a beneficiary, and the reauthorization was successful. It was funded at $40 million, and as a result, the city is able to receive the $500,000 for the aquifer storage and recovery. In addition, we also have a number of other local revenue assistance funds. One of those is the Recreation Conservation Office, which was funded substantially, as I mentioned, with the Youth Athletic Facilities program, which was funded at $12 million. But there are other programs as part of that office which were well-funded as well, including the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program, the Outdoor Recreational Projects Grant, and more. And finally, the Public Works Assistance Account had some mixed results this year. Historically, the legislature has funded, but has also swept that account. This year was no exception. The legislature appropriated $85 million to the Public Works Assistance Account, but they also swept $160 million in existing funds, which was transferred to the Education Legacy Account. Aside from that, an additional $21.5 million within that Public Works Assistance Account is earmarked specifically for to assist local governments with broadband connectivity. And $10 million of those funds is earmarked for specific projects. So this just leaves $85 million in the Public Works Assistance Accounts for competitive loans. So not totally swept, you know, still some opportunity to apply for funds there if necessary, but mixed results nonetheless.
And I'll wrap us up. We've been talking for quite some time, but it's hard to capture 105 days in just one short presentation. It has truly been a pleasure to advocate on behalf of the City of Othello. We really appreciate working with your legislators, Senator Schessler, Representative Dye, Representative Schmick. As you see them out in the community and at various events, please thank them for their advocacy on behalf of the city and on behalf of your funding requests. They really do an outstanding job. I'll also note that this is Hannah's last City Council meeting with us. She is transitioning to a different team within our firm, so she's going to be working internationally. So you'll just be hearing from me. I'll be a one-woman show. But she has really just done an outstanding job in Olympia. I know that those of you who came over to Olympia this last session observed how zealously she advocates. And so I just really would like us all to give her a hand for her hard work on behalf of the city. And with that, we're happy to answer any questions. And once again, thank you for the opportunity to be your partner.
Council, do you guys have any questions? I have one question. I guess I'm still not done asking for money. Remember, Hannah, you wrote that letter for me on behalf of libraries, rural public libraries. Well, that did get funded at the rate of somewhere around $8 million. And so I contacted that guy who had requested us sending a letter of support for that. He said it was going to be, the program was going to be set up through the Department of Commerce, but it hadn't been set up yet. Mm-hmm. So how do we... because we are right in the middle of wanting to do some roof replacements, some electrical upgrades at our library. I think we would qualify for a grant from them. So how can we find out more about that? Who's the program manager? And yeah.
Great question. So the budgets that were adopted this last legislative session do not go into effect until July 1st. So the department will begin working on July 1st to implement the budget that they just adopted. So at that time, and as we get closer to that date, we can certainly have those conversations with the state agency as they put the program together.
Terrific. All right. Thank you again. You guys have been wonderful advocates for the City of Othello, and we really appreciate all your effort.
Thanks.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to go to item 4.3 on our agenda, which is the continued public hearing for reimbursement agreement for irrigation system constructed by Olson Holmes, Sage Stone 8, Major Platte, Phase 1. And I will open that public hearing at 7.05 p.m.
And I'll recuse myself from this conversation.
Let the record show the councilman, Mark Snyder, is recusing himself from this discussion. close the public hearing at 7:05 p.m. And at this time, I'd entertain a motion to take no action.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Then we'll move to item 4.4, which is Well 10 Municipal Structures in a Residential Zone. And Community Development Director Ann Henning has a report.
So if you recall, we recently annexed the property for the future Well 10. And as part of the annexation, zoned it residential, which is consistent with the comprehensive plan designation. Doing municipal buildings or structures in a residential zone by the code requires planning commission, public hearing and recommendation, and then city council approval of that. So the planning commission held their public hearing. There were no comments for, against, or neutral. So the planning commission recommends that municipal buildings and structures for Well 10, the well itself, the well house, the fencing, consistent with other wells, that be allowed. So it's pretty simple.
Yep.
Pretty simple action.
Council, do you have any questions for Ann? All right, then I would entertain a motion to accept the Planning Commission's recommendation to allow Well 10 to be in this R2 zone.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
For the record, I should have stated that Mark Snyder rejoined the council present on that last one. Sorry, Mark. We'll move to item 4.5, which is an amendment to the ABHL contract for well number 10. And our city engineer, Sean O'Brien, is going to inform us about the consulting surveying services.
Yeah, so Mayor, Council, previously we've entered into a contract with AHBL as our survey consultant, and this is the first project where we've actually worked with them to get prices for them to come and do some work for us. It's a small project where they'll be laying out the property corners with the Well 10 site and also marking the location where we have to keep our well 100 feet or more away from the property line. So they'll be marking out the area that the contractor can start drilling, which hopefully will start up here in June.
So good.
Fairly simple.
So we need to approve this agreement and entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now we'll move to item 4.6, which is the Wahida Short Plat Waiver Deferral and Deviation Request, and Community Development Director Ann Henning has prepared an agenda memo with different information about the short plat request. So, Ann, do you want to walk the council through that?
Okay, so the school district started the platting of the Wahida site a long time ago. It never got finished through various things. So they are now in the process of platting that property. One of the issues that needs to be addressed is with platting is a requirement to do the municipal improvements, the streets and the utilities abutting the property. So in this case, there is a process in the municipal code to do deferral, waiver, deviation of the standards. And so there are five requests. We'll go through each one, make sure it's clear what's going on. So the first one is, so the portion of Skidney Street that was built, the width curb to curb curb doesn't meet current standards of 42 feet. It was built at 38 feet. And so what they are requesting is that they be allowed to keep that portion, not have to rebuild it. And staff's in support of that, with the requirement that parking be restricted on that portion. It's currently striped with a three-lane section with a center turn lane, so there's no parking there now anyway. So that's not a hardship there. Second request is for the scrutiny improvements. So, PHA has submitted a building permit on this property to the south, and so they will need Scooby Street to be extended to there. So,
excuse me just a minute. And can you, Spencer, can you give her the pointer so she can?
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Thank you.
Now
will you go back and show us again, because you're behind the chairs over here.
Okay. So CBHA has an apartment proposal on this property that's just to the south. And so Scutney Street needs to be extended. It needs to be finished at this time. So CBHA will do their portion. School district will do their portion. It'll be a joint project. But the school district's already built Scutney to here, where the gravel parking is. So they'll be required to, so by code, they'd be required to extend all the way to the property line. The deferral request is for this last little bit where they would construct a gravel turnaround rather than, because you need a turnaround at the end of a dead end street. Putting it over here would involve this property. So it makes sense to put a T end here for a fire turnaround. But then there'd be that portion that wouldn't be finished. So the proposal is to defer the complete improvements on that part, the sidewalk, curb, gutter, pavement, and have a covenant to guarantee that it be finished at the time that street continues. So that's the second one. The third one is for a waiver of sanitary sewer main in Scutney Street. So Scutney currently built without sanitary sewer. However, it's not needed in there. This property is already served. These properties are already served. The property over here is going to be served by sewer to the south on Columbia. So it's not needed. They're asking not to have to do that. And then the last two have to do with Cemetery Road up here. And so the plat has this piece as one lot and this as a separate lot. So this vacant piece, they're asking not to have to build Cemetery Road at this time. Again, that would be, staff would recommend that a covenant be attached so that it would be, the improvements would be guaranteed in the future. So that's kind of a quick run through of the five requests.
Okay, so I want to say, first of all, I want to thank the Planning Commission because I thought that they, between them and you, come up with some good solutions for the school on this plat. There's a number of details here, and so I'm going to open up the council now for any questions.
So what if somebody builds up here on Cemetery Road? They're going to have
of the school property.
Yeah, to the east of it.
Yeah.
So if somebody builds there, are they going to be responsible to do all that then, or not till they build on that?
So covenant generally says that it's triggered when it's triggered, when it's time. So if there's development to the east that needs it, then the council can choose to call on the covenant for the school district's portion of Cemetery. And the covenant also goes with the land. So if they sell that land to someone else, that covenant and that responsibility goes with that.
How specific is the covenant? As specific as you want to make it, or?
Yes, and so it's a legal document. It'll be reviewed by the city attorney before the property owner signs it.
I think I also want to thank the school district for working closely with Ann. Honestly, this takes care of a whole lot of things for them, and it takes care of a whole lot of things that the city needed to really, unfinished work the city never completed with the school. And this actually takes care of a lot of any future issues that would arise. And I'm pleased with the solutions that have been, come up with and agreed upon. As the council sees, there's 5 motions that need to be done on all this work we're doing. So I think we're going to start. I'll entertain a motion for the first one, number one, at the bottom of the agenda memo. Approve a deviation for 38 feet constructed width of Scutney from 14th Avenue to the south property boundary due to the narrower width. Parking shall be restricted on this segment of the street. So we're asking for a motion on the deviation.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number 2 is to approve the deferral of street improvements to Scutney to allow a gravel turnaround to the east end of the street with a covenant to guarantee completion of the street to the east property line when Scutney is extended beyond the east property line.
I'll make that motion.
Go ahead.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 3 is to grant a waiver of sanitary sewer improvements in Scutney since all properties can be served without extending sewer to this street.
I'll make the motion to approve that.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moved item 4, defer street improvements for Cemetery Road until the improvements are needed, guaranteed with a covenant.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And finally, item 5, defer utility improvements for Cemetery Road until... The first one is for the street improvements. This one is for the utility improvements for Cemetery Road until the improvements are needed, guaranteed with a covenant.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Greg, is there anything you'd like to say at this point? I mean, you came down all the way down here. You might as well say something. Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for your time tonight, and we really appreciate you. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of discussion, so that means we did our job. So we
did.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. All right, then we'll move to item 5, which is unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business tonight?
Can we get an update on what's going on with the pool?
Yes, I'll do that on the new. Yeah.
Under new, oh.
Okay. So any unfinished business? Okay, then we'll move to item 6, which is new business. Council Member Bain has asked about the swimming pool, and so I think I'll let our Public Works Director, Terry Clements, address the council about the swimming pool, let them know what's going on and what the decisions that were made today about the pool, because I'm sure council members have been contacted about what's going on and the swim team and everything else. So go ahead, Terry.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Start with, I guess, we'll start with the capital side of that, the heater and the laterals and the sand traps and things of that, and that all came under budget. That was all been done. Extra laterals had to be ordered, so that was another add-on in the bottom. There wasn't enough, so those got added. Normally in the season, we prepare ball fields around April 1st, have them ready for April 1st. We took a late winter, so it pushed us back about a month to get those out, get the snow out, get the water. The water dried up so we could get out in the fields and work the fields. So in between there, we were trying to work on the pool. We worked on the pool at teens in the single digits, trying to vac that out. One of the responsibilities was that if they had to bring in a vactor to vac that sand trap, those 2 great big sand traps out, it would cost the city 10 grand extra. we stuck our Vactor in there. We redesigned the vac hose so that we could get it through the door and back into the corner. Problem was is that the temperatures were cold enough in there that being inside that sand trap, it was froze. We could rake the top off, but we couldn't get to the bottom. So to get ahead of the program and the people coming in to put the heater in, put the sand traps in, we had to back that out. So we had to wait until we got a little bit of snow out of the way, and then we had to wait for the lawn to take some of that water down, so we couldn't get on the lawn with the Vactor. So finally we got in and we got that set up and we got that fixed. So that was long about mid-April. So normally we start to pool a couple weeks prior to that. So May 1, we have water in the pool. And so we can do our training and we balance it and all that stuff. So the first week of May, we do that part. But the problem is that we didn't have everything in place at that time with our contractors. So our contractors had some other things to do and we were waiting for materials. Well, we normally started with the pool. We started cleaning up the pool, and with the amount of dirt we had up in the zero depth then, we started uncovering little pinholes in the liner against the north side of the pool, which was stacked pretty full of dirt from the wind and the snow that blew in. So we washed all that out, took care of all that stuff, and just in the zero depth area, we found that we had more pinholes in that 50-foot section on either side. So that has a lifetime warranty on that liner. That liner, the first information I got on that liner was that if we did anything to patch that, we voided the warranty from the factory. And talking to the North American rep, he had one of his guys come down and take a look at it, and it actually clearly several of the dimples had fell through in the material, which allowed the water under the liner, which gave us the bubble down at the bottom. So most of that material has to come from Italy. There's nothing around here for it. So they ordered it in, and it was supposed to be an earlier date. So amount of pools started, repairs going on. They moved the date back. I pushed it up. They pushed it back. I pushed it back. We back and forth the whole thing. So it got to the point where we needed train guards. We had to push some things back for start date. So when we got back here, we still had to iron out the heater. The heater still got to be fired up. It still got to be set at high limits, low limits, and the instruction side of it for the crew, which is part of the money that we paid for the instructional side of it. That hasn't been done because we can't put water in the pool until we get some of the liner fixed in the corners. The liner was installed in 2007. It wasn't installed right. It's supposed to be 2 inches up on the wall. It's only got about half an inch up on the wall. So it let go down around the jet, and so it made a hole in down by the jet, so it leaks some water. So that material right there pushed us back. They couldn't get a guy out fast enough. They got a rep out to look at it, to tell us what we were gonna have to do, what we needed. We figured that it was a pretty simple fix, that they'd come in, they'd make a patch like they've done in a couple other spots in there, but they didn't. They didn't have the guys from Anderson Pooler out of Portland. They're the rep that'll actually do the work, but they'll send down a regional guy to be able to overlook it to make sure it's done. So we fought back and forth, and we basically got down to where we had a cut date, where I had to cut and run. July 1 was the farthest date down that we could actually do anything with and still get this done. Well, after today, we couldn't get anything done by them because they were stuck on the 12th because of the amount of workload from all the pools coming and starting. So what I did was I took the material that they sent in, had a discussion with the regional rep and the North American rep, and told them that I need to start a pool. The community needs a pool. We've waited long enough. We were ahead of the eight ball on all of them. We're waiting on a vendor. And it was just a heavy workload for them, and they couldn't meet the demand. So I took the material today, went down and cut it. They gave me the list of material stuff that I had to have. I cut it, I put it in. I sealed it up. I'm adding water tonight. There's water going in the pool tonight. I should have it half full by this evening, late this evening. It's got a cure for 24 hours before I can add water to the zero depth line. So I should have here by tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I should have a full pool. I still got to balance it, but I still got to get the guy from over there that installed the heater to come over and fire that up and set the limits. He'll be here Thursday night. So tentatively. I'm hoping for the third opener for whatever I got to do to get that there. So we still have guards that have to be trained in the pool, so they might swim in 68 degree weather or water, and that's about as fast and furious as we can get. We've done just about everything we can do. We're at the mercy of the vendor. We were actually pushing back pretty hard, but maybe lack of communication or something on that end of the stick, but things got pretty wild. So apologize for that side of it, but there is water going in currently right now up till about 11. We should be about right to the edge of zero depth. So.
Well, I can't tell you how happy that makes me.
So.
Council, do you have any questions?
No, I appreciate that. But in the future, I do want to request something. In the future, on something semi-major like this, can the council be texts or something to let us know what's going on and not have to find out by Facebook?
Yes.
And people calling, you know, what's going on with the pool, yada, yada. And, you know, it's just kind of tough to go, I don't know, let me get back to you. You know, when you could just say a simple answer, hey, we got some holes in the liners. You know, we can't get people in here to fix it right now. We're doing everything we can do. You know, so I'd appreciate that.
Sure can.
All right,
I can
thanks.
Do that.
So does that void our warranty?
No. I got a piece of paper that says no. So they can't really void my warranty because they've done the last two patches themselves. I'm not MRTHA certified, but they gave me the list and we did exactly like the list, so we're good to go.
Yeah, I do want to thank you, Terry, because we didn't have this solution this morning, and we didn't. And I want to, you know, I went to Delcy, the president of the swim team, myself this afternoon when I found out that we were going to actually be able to open for them on Monday. The pool should be open to the public on the 8th, which is a week from Saturday. And it's, you know, some of this was a release of information that created a lot of anxiety. And I expressed to Dulcie on behalf of not only myself and the Public Works Department, but also the City Council, that we don't normally want to create a lot of anxiety in the community. And we're very pleased to be able to get the pool open. And it's basically to get it through this season. And then we'll get the warranty work where they come in and they put in the whole new liner instead of patches. And so coming into next year, we won't have this kind of an issue and shouldn't have this kind of an issue ever. But I do want to apologize to the council that we didn't do our best, and we can do better, and I can do better. And I just, I'm very thankful that a good resolution came out for the swim team and for everybody involved, because the hot weather is coming and we need a pool. Just like Terry said, we got to get that thing going. And Dulcie wanted to express her appreciation. She says, I know the parents and the kids will be excited that they're not, that they are going to get a swim this year and they are going to get to have meets. And so what kind of blew up mostly over the weekend and last week has now been fixed. And if there's any further developments, I'll call you individually and let you know. But right now, Terry, I want to thank you for coming together with a solution and running that to ground. So
I do want to say one last thing is, when the pool season's over, we'll drain that pool, and before we get any weather, they'll be in to change that liner. That was what the agreement I told them. They can have it after that. So as soon as I drop it out, they can fix it. Yeah. And we shouldn't have that issue.
So is it the entire liner on the pool?
No. It's just in the corner. Section. It's where the wall and the floor come together. They have to come up, by MRTHA standards, they got to come up 2 inches on the wall. They're only up a half. So when it was originally put together in 07, this is where it failed. When they come around the jets, they're supposed to take the jet off and cut around the jet. so that when the basal ring went back on, this was all underneath it and sealed. It wasn't. It went underneath it, so it was only half an inch down through. So those whole zero depth from start to finish down to the 4 foot level on the corners will come off, and they'll put a whole new sealer and everything in it.
So if they don't fix that right, we're going to keep having that problem.
Yep.
So why don't they just fix it right?
They didn't fix it the first time. It was the contractor that was here, which was Aquatic Specialties, or not Aquatic Specialties, Wayne Smith. He had the contract in it, and they didn't do it right. So back here a few years, we paid $40,000 to have the liner sealed up on the vertical because they used the wrong sealer on that as well. So we pieced this thing together all the way around. So here we have a liner that's a lifetime warranty. They need to fix it.
Yep.
So they'll be in to fix it at the end of pool season.
How do you backtrack? Is it being able to be fixed? Was that like an option from day one, or has it been the pressure from the community to get this up and running?
Well, okay, so when someone tells you news, it's kind of like a bomb going off, and you don't really fully understand the impact of the blast radius. So you kind of have to think about it a little bit. You have to begin to think about, well, what does this really mean? Who is this going to affect? And so then you start looking at that it was going to affect all the kids in the swim team. It was going to affect all the parents who are involved in the swim team. It was going to affect our lifeguards and our ability to, if I'm a 17 or 18 year old kid and you tell me I can't hire, now I thought I had a job or I was going to get a job and now I got to wait a month. Well, heck, that's half my summer. Well, I'm going to go get another job. And anybody who was returning, how do you know that they would even return? Because they might be upset because we fumbled this, as it were. So when, you're to answer your question, it's a combination of a lot of things that we said, okay, this wasn't going to work, this wasn't going to work. And so basically what happened was, instead of at the staff level, it moved up the chain, and then it moved up the chain. And between Terry and my discussion this morning, that's when we said, well, listen, is there any way Terry, this was his idea. He said, well, maybe we can just patch it and let's see if we can do that. So it was a realization of how many people this was going to affect. And when they tell you this right off the bat, which I didn't find out till last Wednesday, you don't realize all the impact. You know it's not good. You guys know that intuitively. But to know the full impact of it, you don't really, until you start really getting down to saying, okay, wait a minute, there's other people involved in this. This just doesn't affect the city. This affects a whole bunch of people. So what did they say? Necessity is the mother of invention. And so we had to get creative and inventive and figure out a way we were going to make this work. So that's my answer to that. We had to get creative and figure out a way to make this work. And thank God, Terry was able to come up with a solution, and the manufacturers were.
But to go back to what you said earlier, you were made aware of the situation Wednesday?
Wednesday afternoon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was that you being made aware of it? Was that the posting in Facebook?
It was a text message.
Text message. Because we had a committee meeting that Corey and I had attended, and immediately after that committee meeting, it got posted. I had sought to come and talk to you about it the following day, because I knew that there was going to be ramifications from that.
Right.
I'd already fielded a couple. But I think what you're asking is, was there any form of of alternative. Could we start down this path a little earlier and seeing if there was another way of dealing with it than to, you know, put that out there and say, we're not going to open until July 1?
Part of it didn't help that I was at that conference in Las Vegas and I wasn't here to deal with it. But I was also on city business and I was working, which I will give you a report either at the next council meeting or the following one in June. That's part of it. I think that the way we communicated it didn't, I mean, out of that meeting, you had an understanding of how the communication was going to start out, and immediately it didn't happen that way because it got, the gun got jumped. And so when you jump the gun and information starts flowing out, then I really didn't, you know, when I got back here Friday, I was just swamped with a whole bunch of other business. And then it was today I finally had a chance to work on it. And so basically, in the chain of command, at the level it was being handled at, they didn't know anything else what to do. They didn't have any other options. And so that's how it came out. And I don't know what you guys discussed in that committee meeting, but it didn't sound like that there was really any other option.
There was no alternative made right. In the committee
yeah.
meeting.
Right.
So look, I'm not putting you on the spot, John. I'm just saying that moving forward, you know, possibly a more open line of communication could avoid this, because it seemed that you guys were capable of being able to deal with this, you know, within 3 to 5 days.
Yeah, that that just on that July 1st date, if we didn't pick a date and this contractor couldn't deliver, we'd have been changing the date, because I still got to add water, I still got to have the guy come in with contractor for the heater, and then I got to train the guards before we can even have guards that are capable of doing that. So that one July 1 date was a drop dead date. Things have to happen before that, because nothing happens on that. That's when we go live.
Yeah.
So to give us time, this was the drop dead date, because they were pushing me down in a corner and I needed to have something. It got to the point where we weren't having anything, and we were a date here and then it would change the next day or so, it would change, and it just bounced back and forth until he met with me this morning, the mayor, and I said, this is enough of the bouncing the ball back and forth. Luckily enough, last week we got in the material for that liner material. That's nowhere but out of Italy. It comes out of Italy. So that arriving and setting in my lunchroom, I cut a hunk off of it and went out and put it down. That's where I got that material. Or I couldn't get it here locally. It has okay. come from Italy.
And that happened after the meeting?
To put it on?
No, the liner actually showed up after we hit
it. It right around that time, I don't remember what day that was, but we inventoried it basically, and it was all there, but we were waiting for the date, because they were supposed to push it up if they could. So it was kind of one of those things, they give it to you, then they take it away, and they give it to you, take it away. I can't bounce that many times. Mm-hmm. I can't keep track of how many times I bounced. So I should have 24 hours. I gotta leave it 24 hours water free before I can add water to it. So I'm gonna run water right up to it, and then I'm gonna leave it set. By tomorrow evening, I should have water rolling into it.
Great.
So we'll do our best to put it in line.
You know, when you do things, and I'll use an analogy, when you go fishing and you hook the fish and you reel it in and you put it in the net and nothing happens, everything's great. But then when you hook the fish and then the fish does this and it moves this way or does something and then you lose the fish, well, it wasn't a great experience, but you sure learned a lot. And this is what I just want to say to the council. This is not how we drew it up on the board, and you all know that. And I learned a lot of things as a result of this process. And the staff learned a lot of things as a result of how this played out. It did create anxiety in the community. It did create anxiety, I'm sure, in you guys, because you're looking at the public who's unhappy to the point where the swim team even announced that they were going to cancel their season. And where, yes, that puts pressure on you. And it doesn't just put it on me, it also puts it on you. And part of my job, I feel, is to lift that pressure from you by doing my best as we run this city. And so I learned a lot on this one. And I can assure you that if, as we go forward, you shouldn't see things unfold like they did on this one. So I apologize. We can do better, and we will do better. And I just want to thank Terry for coming up with a solution, though, that did resolve the public's interest, the swim team's interest, and basically all of our interest as well. So everybody did win, even though we did take some hits as a result of it. I think we're pretty battle-hardened and battle-tested, and I think that going forward that things will be fine.
So I got a different subject.
Yeah.
So not this last weekend, but the weekend before, there was hundreds of people in the park, but there was only one bathroom open. And that, I mean, there was a big, the gazebos were rented out, or I'm assuming, I know the one on the tennis court side was, and I'm assuming the other one that was full was, and then that center one, there was people in there, and we were there, we had our grandkids and everything, and so the bathroom by the pool was open, I guess, is what I hear, but the one in the center was closed. The one at the ball field was closed. So that, I mean, if the top one's open, I think the other one should be open.
Do you know anything about that?
We don't unlock them on the weekends. The police department unlocks them on the weekends.
And okay.
Up and closed, that's where we send an email that direction until we get a full set of seasonal park out in there. The one up by the Lions Park, the women's side of it, is locked because the lock's defective. The lock's ordered. It's been ordered for 3 days. So we're waiting for it to come in from the factory to replace that. Other than that, the men's side works.
Okay. I guess the thing that we should probably post is that if the bathrooms are locked, that they should contact the police department. And we'll leave the number and we'll post that on Facebook. Just so you know, I am going to post a statement on Facebook on the city's webpage about this incident with the pool, and basically that the pool is going to be open for the swim team. It's going to open on a week from Saturday on June 8th, and we'll also inform the public about the bathrooms, because sometimes that does happen, and it just seems to happen in your family, because Debbie called me last year, because she was down at Kiwanis Park, and it was closed down there, and I don't think that's the only bathroom in the park. So yeah, apologize for that. Is there any other new business to come before the council tonight? All right, we'll move to item 7. And the council will receive department head reports, 7.1, and we'll also receive planning commission minutes from our last meeting. And having no further business to come before the council, I am going to adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:45 p.m.